Okay, William, here it is. Daddy-O back again. And guess what? I have the last chapter of Payoff for Mr. Glum. And this chapter you're going to like. I hope. This chapter is Farewell Pig Out Disaster. Yes, indeedy. So here's what I got to tell you. This is it. Now, if you remember the last chapter, long ago, oh my goodness, long ago, GP and Strongbones were down in the treasure caverns. And they came back with all sorts of goodies. They got a Jeep for GP. You got all sorts of equipment for GP. All sorts of audio, video, you name it type of equipment for GP. Even Strongbones got a new truck. And he got a new dirt bike for his friend Tucky Tutty. And he got a dirt bike for himself. And then he got all sorts of camping equipment. And he got fishing rods. And he's got tackle. And he's got campster. Oh my goodness, he loaded his truck up as much as he could. And then at the very end, Mr. Glub gave GP a box with Japanese writing all over it, and inside was a robot. And that robot was a very special robot. And we don't really talk about it too much because, after all, we have Squeaky Toy. But Squeaky Toy was made by Mr. Ningyoshi-san, whereas this robot was made by his arch enemy, who I forget right at the moment. So we'll tell you that in another story, because that's coming. But in this story, if you remember, it ended with Glubilda saying, "We need a human pig out." And so they were going to have a big pig out, but they were going to eat human food. Now, trolls aren't the best cooks in the world, right? And they don't have a lot of food choices. They do know stuff they like to eat. So one of the things they like is chocolate. But they normally only go for cans of chocolate sauce. And they open them by taking a big old, one of their big old cudgels, and they bang a hole in it, went, pew, and then pour it out, because they don't know how to use a can opener, for example. So GP said, "You know, let's have a real human feast." So they went to the kitchens, and he found all sorts of food. He found the chocolate, okay, the chocolate's here. He found some pizzas stuck under part of the glacier. Woohoo, we have pizzas. He found other stuff, and then he started to think, wait, I remember in the treasure caverns, we went past a lot of food. We probably went past cave after cave of nothing but food. We got to go down there and see it. So he was in the kitchens, and he'd been given a free hand. And so we went to his old pal, Sister Fidget. Now, if you remember Sister Fidget, Sister Fidget was the one who took GP and Strongbones in, and she was very good to them. They had to work for her. She was very stern, and she laid out with her cudgel when she had to. Well, she didn't have a cudgel. She had a rolling pin. It comes to the same thing, William, really. And he went to Sister Fidget, and he said, "Sister Fidget, we're going to have a pig out for Mr. Glub and all of his Glub family." And Fidget said, "Another pig out? Yes, indeedy. And we're going to have a human food pig out, and I'm going to show you how to cook human food." And she said, "Human food? We're going to eat human food? What do you mean human food? We have mushrooms. Why do we need to eat anything else? We have mushrooms." "Oh, Sister Fidget, look what I've got." And he showed her all of the carts he'd pulled out with the chocolate. She looked at the chocolate and she went, "Well, that's human food we can eat. Okay, I like that human food." Then she saw the pizzas, and she had no idea what the pizzas were. She thought maybe they were wheels off of a wagon or something. And then he showed her some of the other stuff he had. He said, "Okay, we have this, but it's kind of like, this is low-end fare. We got to find something better." Sister Fidget said, "Huh?" And GP said, "Let's go. Can we get down to the treasure caverns again?" And Sister Fidget said, "Huh?" And GP said, "And by the way, I need somebody to lead us, to show us the way, and I need a couple of food carts." And he's looked around and he said, "You, gotta need a food cart. You, I need a food." Pretty soon he had a train of a half a dozen, seven, or I don't know how many food carts he had. But he had all those big carts pushed by little teen trolls who'd been bad and unruly and were working in the kitchens. And they made a long train all the way back down to the treasure caverns. Well, there is a rule here now. They were in the treasure caverns the day before and they could take anything they wanted. Yes, indeedy. But no, they couldn't take anything now, because that would be stealing. And trolls don't like that. So they went down to look for food, because he had been okayed for food. And they came to the taverns. They passed all the rows of computers. They passed trucks. They passed vehicles. They passed caves full of stuff they had no idea what was in there. Machine parts, toys. Oh, toys. William, toys. Oh, they passed them up. They went to the food caves. And they looked in. And GP saw stacks of boxes. And on one of the boxes, what did he see? He saw stacks of boxes full of pepperoni. He He said, "Oh, pepperoni. I wonder how old that is." He said, "Well, we're not going to worry. It's trolls. They can eat pepperoni at any time. Besides, pepperoni will never go bad. It's got so much bad stuff in it." So he said, "Hey, grab a couple boxes of pepperonis." So the toll teens went, "Huh? What? Come on, don't question me. Put them on." So they put him on the box. Then they put him on the truck. Then he found boxes of macaroni and cheese. "Oh, William, there's nothing worse for you than macaroni and cheese, especially the stuff that's made up all ahead of time with fake cheese as powder. And oh, but people love macaroni and cheese." So he bought several cartons full of little boxes of macaroni and cheese. He said, "I'm going to show them how to make macaroni and cheese." And then he found the boxes of chocolate bars. "Oh, man, you like liquid chocolate? You'll like these." So he threw them on. Then he found some chow mein. "Oh, Chinese. We'll eat Chinese." And right next to it was the ramen noodles. "Yay, we'll bowl up some ramen noodles." Then he came to the boxes of potato flakes. "Mashed potatoes. They've never had mashed potatoes." And right on the other side, across from the potato flakes, were all the jars of gravy. Now, William, gravy is about the worst thing you can ever eat aside from mac and cheese because it's full of really fats, nothing but fat. But, oh, we'll pour the gravy on the potato flakes. Yes, ooh. And then they found boxes of beef jerky. Oh, that's Clem Goodlight's favorite. And it's Iggy Pop's favorite, too. And beef jerky, we can have that for dessert. Put that on, lads. Put that on, lads. And he was almost piled up. He almost had gotten all the food he could ever take back when he found the gold mine, William. He found the ultimate of food, the worst food you could ever eat. Chili. Oh, cans and cans of chili. Big gallon cans of chili. Oh, chili, chili, chili. And he had them unload some of the chocolate bars, throw off some of the ramen noodles. "Nope, don't need that. Don't need the chow mein. Give me chili." Oh, they were packed. Those poor teen trolls. Oh, those poor teen trolls. They were pushing all this food back, tugging all this food back. They were up. They were going up the corridors. They were pulling it up to the kitchens. They were so tired. "Oh, there's all this food." GP was like, "Psyched. Yeah, food." And when he got to the kitchens, he said, "Wahoo!" And all the cooks looked at him like, "Who is this crazy human? How did this human get here?" And then he said, "Come on, everybody gather around." So all the cooks, all the mammies, all the little sisters gathered around. And GP said, "Fellow trolls, I'm going to show you how to cook a human meal." And then he took all the stuff he had. He took the pizzas and he gave them to one sister who had all these ovens for making mushroom pie and mushroom bread. And then he went to another mammy cook who had all of these pots. And he said, "You, here, I'll show you what to do." Well, he had been smart. He had actually been smart. Because while he was down in the caverns, he had noticed a box of can openers. He took those too. He said, "I'm going to show you a trick. This is a human trick, and you're going to like it." All the trolls said, "Huh?" He picked up the can opener. And he said, "Look, can opener." "Ooh. Ooh." Oh, the mammy's really like this. "Ooh." He said, "Watch." And he went to a can of chili, and he put the can opener on, and he started twisting. "Look. And he twisted off the top of the chili, and the whole kitchen was full of chili smell. Oh, chili. Oh, chili. Oh, the trolls loved it. Chili's the worst thing you can eat outside of macaroni and cheese. He said, "Yeah, pour these in pots. Now you, try this." And he gave Sister Fidget another can opener. And he said, "Try it." Oh, she was fumbling for a while. She was like, "Whoa, how do you do this? How do you use this?" But she finally got it down, and she opened another can of chili. Oh, everybody was so impressed. Oh, she opened the can of chili. She poured the chili in the pot. Well, pretty soon, all the sisters were trying out can openers. And then the mammies, let's try. They tried out can openers. Well, William, this is a revelation in troll country because once you know how to use a can opener, you can open cans. And do you know how many cans are in the treasure caverns? Cans of stuff. Cans of yummy stuff, cans of stuff they hadn't even found. I mean, think of it. It's tomato soup, chicken noodle soup. There's what comes out of cans. There's jams. There's you name it. They started opening up all the other stuff. They opened up the potato flakes in the boxes. Those were easy. And GP had them put them in a pot with water. He said, "Here, cook those up. And then here's another pot." And he started pouring in these gallons worth of gravy. Oh, greasy, goopy gravy. Ah, gravy. Oh, it'll choke your arteries. All the trolls loved it. Oh, pour it in. They got all the gravy going. Pretty soon, the potato flakes were bubbling with mashed potatoes, and the gravy was bubbling with hot gravy, and the ramen noodles were being cooked really quickly, and then they had some chow mein, but hey, who wants chow mein when you have mac and cheese? So we showed them how to boil up all of the macaroni and then put the cheese powder on. Oh, the cheese powder that'll kill you in the long run, but doesn't it taste good? Oh, he made big, huge pots of macaroni and cheese. And then he said, okay, now what we have to do. And then he cooked up some of the pizzas, because he had pizzas there, and he pulled out the cans of chocolate. And he said, here's the chocolate, but instead of punching a hole in it, let's take the top off. So we did. Oh, and now you had a chocolate bowl of chocolate that you could just take a spoon to. Ooh, and we'll put this over the macaroni and cheese. Oh, the trolls were so happy. And then everything was cooked. And Mr. Glubb was up top in his famous room, his dining room, his meeting hall, his ruling hall, his king's hall, and he was getting hungry. After all, he'd had a hard day down in the treasure caverns watching these humans take stuff. After all, it was hard work for him. Well, where's my food? So he sent down a teen troll who came running down. Run, right down to the kitchens. Where's Mr. Glubb's food? Oh, it rang through the kitchens. And GP said, I'll be right up. And he looked around, and the mac and cheese was all bubbly, boily, grummy, glumbly, gum. He said, good, put those in the cans. And then the chili was bubbly, ubbly, bubbling up, all hot and everything. Yeah, put those on the carts, let's go. And then he took chocolate bars, and he put them, arranged them all around the macaroni and cheese. And then he took the beef jerky, and he put it all around the chili. Yeah. And then he took out the pepperoni, and he put the pepperonis all around the pizzas, hot pizzas coming out. Yeah, we got this. And then he had the potato flakes. Oh, big mountains of mashed potato with greasy, groupy gravy all over it. Oh, yum. Ah, they're going to love this. He said, we're ready for the pig out. And they marched up. Oh, my goodness. It was a long train, and the smells that were coming up from down below. Everybody in the club's room was like, what's this? What's this? And then GP came in. Oh, he was so proud of himself. And behind him, a long train of carts bringing food. And he announced each one. And here, Mr. Glubb, Mr. King of the Trolls, here we have human mac and cheese. And all the trolls went, oh, oh. And big cauldrons of bubbly orangey cheese with noodles came rolling by. And, ooh, what's that smell? That doesn't smell like mushrooms. And then GP said, and here we go, pizza. And they rolled by with all these pizzas lined up with pepperoni everywhere. What's that? Oh, well, I can tell you, the trolls didn't know you were supposed to cut pizzas into 8 pieces, so generally they picked up a whole pizza and ate it. But that's troll eating. And then the ramen noodles came in and the chow mein, and then potato, mashed potato, and gravy. Oh, big mounds of mashed potato, huge pitchers of gravy poured all over. Oh, they'd never seen such stuff. But he saved the best for last. And Mr. Glubb, King of the Trolls, an assembled Glubb family and friends. Chili! Oh, the odor. Oh, the smell. This is a pig out like none we've ever had. Oh, and they rolled all the carts in and put them by the windows, which is where they typically put all the food. And then people lined up and started filling their plates and platters. Well, they were so much food, they couldn't fill their plates and platters. They had to come back for seconds and thirds and fourths and fifths and sixths and sevenths and eighths and you name it. Oh, they were like, woohoo! And then they had big, huge pitchers of huge, cold glacier water that they'd come off the glaciers. That's what they loved to drink. Glacier water. And it was a feast. And they were all happy and talking and loud. And Mr. Glubb said, we need entertainment. Bring out the dancing werewolves. Well, that was an announcement. So, again, one of the teen trolls. You know, teen trolls are everywhere and they're always unruly and they're always ready to do stuff because they don't want to be in trouble anymore. So he looked at a teen troll and he said, you, go down to the werewolves and have them send up 2 of the best dancers. Let's see. And he thought about it. He said, okay, I want Argarg and I want Snarlygarl. Snarlygarl is good. He's a good dancer. And Argarg, well, he's humorous. I want those brought up so they could dance. Come on. And then he looked at his musicians on the side, and they were sitting there busy eating chili with mac and cheese on top and gravy, and they were eating as fast as they could. And he said, "Musicians, warm your instruments and start to play." Well, you've heard Yodata play the guitar. He's pretty good. He does a good job. Well, trolls aren't that skilled. They have drums. They like drums. They drum beat things. And then they have sort of like horns. You might not call them horns the way we have horns, but they make a lot of noise. And they blow into their horns. They bang on their drums. And then the werewolves dance. And they think that's great entertainment. So the little teen troll went running down to the werewolves. And he went up to the werewolf captain of the trolls, who had gotten in trouble years ago, and he'd been the captain of the trolls for so long, this is where he thought. He didn't even think about the stink anymore. It didn't bother him. He was like, "Where?" And the teen troll said, Oh, captain of the troll, captain of the werewolves, sir, captain of the werewolves." And he bowed, because even being captain of the werewolves is something for the teen, for the trolls. He said, "We need two trolls for Mr. Glove's pickout. We need dancing werewolves. We need two." And he asked for Arg Arg and Snarly Growl. Oh. Captain of the trolls thought, "Arg Arg and Snarly Growl. Snarly Growl is kind of big. Are you sure he wants these two werewolves? They're kind of unruly." "Yes, he said them. He has to come up with them." So the captain of the werewolves thought, "Okay, well, we'll send them up, but we'll have to send some keepers too. So who can we send?" He looked around. Who did he spot? Who do you think he spot? Who do you think he spot trying to kind of like hide and duck and get out of work? "Our friends, Rocky, Grassy, and Bernie." "Oh," he said, "you three, I need you." Uh-oh, they were caught. They came up, they hung their heads. He said, "Yes, sir, captain of the werewolves. I need you to take two werewolves up to the pickout. You know how to get up to the Glub's room, Glub's king's room?" They looked at each other and they nodded their heads. "Yes, we know how to get there." "Good, you're going. And I need you to take Arg Arg." He looked at Grassy. He said, you, you're a big guy. You can handle Arg Arg. You take Arg Arg." And then he looked at Rocky. "And you, you're a big guy. You can take Snarly Growl. Yeah, you take Snarly Growl. You take him up and you keep him under control and make him dance." Well, the way they did this is the werewolves had long leashes around their necks, right? And they were almost leashes around their necks in their whole upper body. They were like harnesses, so they couldn't get out. And then it was up to Rocky and Grassy to hold on to them and to keep them from getting free, because free werewolves are not something you want roaming around, because they typically don't have much intelligence, okay? And they're typically motivated by their baser instincts, which are to bite and fight and eat, okay? And eat, and don't let them go. You're gonna have fights, you're gonna have bites, and everything's gonna get eaten. So, okay. So Grassy went in, and he got a harness, and he came up to Arg Arg. Well, Arg Arg the werewolf. Arg Arg the werewolf was kind of tall, and he was like silver black. His hair was silver black, and he had big teeth, and he tended to drool. And he looked at Grassy coming in, and went, "Brah, brah, brah, brah," and he bared his teeth, because he figured either bite or fight. And Grassy just came in and said, no, Arg Arg, it's okay. We're going to bring you up to the king's dining room, and you're going to dance, and then we're going to give you good food." Well, Arg Arg heard the word food. Now, werewolves might be dim bulbs, but he knew the word food. So Grassy said, "Okay, so we're just going to put this harness on so that you can go up, and you can dance, and then you'll get food, lots of food." Oh, Arg Arg was like, "Rrr." So he let Grassy put on his harness. And Rocky did the same thing with Snarly Growl. "Food, Snarly Growl, food. You want food? Food? Huh? Food? Yeah, food." So he put his harness on. Well, now you had the two werewolves in full harness. And you had Rocky and you had Grassy. And they were hanging on as tight as they could. And they were pulling him up to the king's dining room. His big hall, king's hall. And then the captain of the werewolves looked at Bernie and said, you sniveling little troll teen, you, I want you to be the scooper." Bernie said, "Huh, me? No, you have somebody else do it. I don't like to do it." "Yes, you're going to be the scooper. Here you go." And he handed Bernie the official tools of the scooper. And those were a dustpan and a broom. I don't know how to say this, William. But trolls have no controls, if you know what I mean. And they are likely to take a poop anywhere they want. So if you send them through the Troll Mountain, you have to have a scooper behind them. If they're outside, it's okay, just don't step in it. But no, inside, trolls like a little bit of cleanliness. You'd be surprised, but they do, and they have a scooper. And Birdie didn't want to be a scooper. I don't want to be a scooper. It's the smelliest job going, but yes, you do. Scoop! So off they went. Off they went, with Birdie and Grassy tugging on the werewolves, and Bernie following behind, hoping he didn't have to scoop anything up. And they went up, all the way to Mr. Glubb's big dining hall, his king's room, his room with a view. Oh, and they came in. And as soon as they came in the doors opened, and the two werewolves stood there, and all the trolls saw the werewolves, and yay, this is our best entertainment, yay, and they all started clapping. Woohoo! Woo! Werewolves! Wow! They said that all in troll, which I can't speak troll, so I can't translate. So Grassy and then Rocky pulled the two trolls over, and they pulled them over, and they put them in front of the musicians. And the musicians started to play. Whatever their song was. I can't do it that bad. But they did. And then the two werewolves, because they were trained werewolves, I mean, that's what the trolls trained them to do, they started to dance. Well, it's not like dancing you'd have. I mean, you've seen dancing. You do pretty good dancing yourself, you know, and your mama knows how to dance really well. And these were not dancing. There was more like they were like plodding around. With their hands in the air, trying to keep time to whatever the music was, if it was music. It was noisy. They were noisy. Everybody was laughing. The trolls were laughing. Ah, clapping. Mr. Glubb was up on his big platform with all of his family, Granny Glubb and all the rest. And they were laughing. Oh, they're having the best time in the whole world. And everybody was having a good time. Except for maybe the werewolves. And except for maybe Rocky and Grassy. Well, Rocky and Grassy had been down in the werewolf caves too long. They had already been there a day or two, and they knew they didn't like it, and they wanted something better. And after all, they hadn't been fed very well because, you know, if you're in the werewolf caves, you get the end of it. You get the last of the last. You don't get what you really would like, which would be a lot of food. What you get is you get the leftovers, anything that comes out of the kitchens that's leftovers, right? And that's what you get. So Rocky and Bernie and Grassy were really hungry. And they were smelling the food. And they smelled the chili. Oh, and they looked around and they saw people eating all this human food. Human food. Human food. Oh, human food. So they were busy hanging on to the werewolves. I mean, the werewolves were dancing, but you can't let the werewolves go. You've got to hang on. So that means Rocky and Grassy were both, like, hanging on. Oh, as hard as they could, but, oh, they were so hungry. So hungry. So Grassy looked at Bernie. He said, Bernie, ain't no scooping going on while they're dancing. You go get me some of that good stuff, that human food. And Bernie said, huh? What? Get me some of that human food. So Bernie said, oh, okay. So he walked over to the line, and he found a bowl, and he put some chili in, right? He put some mac and cheese in. He poured some gravy over it all. Okay. And then just for good luck, he stuck some beef jerky in it. Oh, and brought it back. Oh, Grassy was like, oh, this is great. Oh. And he looked at Rocky. He said, Rocky, I got to have a taste of this. You hang on to my werewolf too. Well, Rocky was having a hard time with Snarly Growl, because Snarly Growl is a very vigorous dancer. And he's jumping up and down, waving his arms, right, and jerking on Grassy. And Rocky's saying, I can barely hold this guy. I can't hold both of them. And Grassy said, you do it or else. Well, Rocky knew what else was, so he said, okay. And he grabbed the both leashes, and Grassy said, yum, yum. He turned around and started eating the chili. Well, did I say something about werewolves and food earlier? Mm-hmm. Yep. So Argarg is dancing around, and he catches a whiff. He looks at He looks at Grassy, and Grassy's eating something in a bowl. He stops dancing, and he comes over to where Grassy is. And Grassy looks up and goes, uh-oh, oh, go back and dance. And then Snarly Growl sees that Argar isn't dancing. Oh, what's this? And he walks over. Oh! And Grassy says, go away. I'm just eating this. You'll get some food later. Food. Food. Oh, that was enough. Argar reached out and he grabbed the bowl from Grassy's hand. Rocky pulled him, yanked him back. No, bad werewolf. And Grassy went up to grab it back from him. And you know what the werewolf did? Oh, don't listen to this, William. Don't listen. The werewolf just went, took his hand and had a backwards swipe with his arm. Whack! Oh, it went Grassy down on the floor. Oh, ouch. Oh, poor Grassy. Oh, because werewolves. Well, I talked about werewolves. Fight, bite, eat. Okay, so he was ready. He wanted his food. Well, then, Snarly Growl. Well, how come Argarg has the bowl of food? He wanted the bowl of food. So he grabbed it from Snarly Growl. And Snarly Growl grabbed it from Argarg. I'm getting my werewolves mixed up. Well, Argarg had been eaten. And he was just about to have some food. And then Snarly Growl grabbed it from him. Arr! So we went running after Snarly Growl. And the two of them were like grabbing for the food bowl. And Rocky came up, was trying to hold on to both of them. And he said, stop. Snarly Growl looked around. And he did the same thing. Whack! Oh, there goes Rocky. Oh, Rocky's on the ground. Oh, poor Rocky. Oh, I feel bad for him, but I really don't. So now the two werewolves were loose. There was nobody hanging on to them. And they growled over the bowl. And then eventually, they dropped it while it was on the floor. And they didn't have any problems with eating it on the floor. But they smelled more. They looked over at the window. And look, there were big bowls of it. Chili bubbling. Oh, mac and cheese. Oh. Beef jerky. Pepperoni. Oh, their noses were like, oh, man. Oh, and they started to drool on their fangs because they were like, food. Oh, food. And all of a sudden, the two werewolves rushed to the food table. Well, they're rushing to the food table. They weren't very delicate, which means they knocked over a lot of tables. They knocked over food. They knocked over trolls. They ran past the platform. Fortunately, they didn't run over the platform, because if they'd run over the platform, they would have knocked over the table and Granny Glub would have fallen off the platform again. Ah, Mr. Glub would have fallen off. Mr. Glub said, what? Stop. Well, they weren't listening to Mr. Glub. They were looking for food. Oh, Argarg ran up and he stuck his head right into the chili. Oh, gross. Oh, Joe, who wants to eat that? And Snarly Growl found the mac and cheese. And started pulling the mac and cheese. Well, this was unacceptable because there were three things that werewolves like. Bite, fight, and eat. Well, once they were done eating, they'd be back to biting and fighting. No, unacceptable. And then Mr. Glub looked at the teen trolls and he said, you again. Well, this was a disaster. This was a disaster not waiting to happen. This was a disaster happening. All the trolls were like, oh, werewolves loose, werewolves loose. Well, trolls like watching werewolves dance and they think they're funny and they're all this stuff, but only when they have handlers hanging on to them so they feel safe. They didn't feel safe because werewolves are the food. Well, that was enough. There were two heroes in the whole of King's Hall, in the whole of Mr. Club's dining hall. In the whole of Mr. Glub's big cavernous room, there were two heroes. And you know who those two heroes were? They were human heroes. They were Strongbones and GP. Strongbones looked at GP and he said, GP, my friend, I think we need to work on this. And GP said, what do you mean work on this? Strongbones said, you grab that big guy, and he pointed to Argarg, you grab his leash, I'll grab Snarly Growl's leash, this other big guy with the teeth, and we'll pull him back, and then we'll let the trolls take him. Let's go. They both jumped up from the table, jumped off the platform in their seats of pleasure, where they'd been sitting next to Mr. Glub and Granny Glub and Mrs. Glub and Glubilda, and they ran over to the food court, the food tables, and GP grabbed Arg's leash, and Strongbones grabbed Snarly Growl's leash, and they both tanked. Come back here, you. Come back here. Well, werewolves are big. Trolls are tend to be bigger than humans, and trolls have a tough time with werewolves. The werewolves are like, they didn't want to be pulled. They didn't want to be pulled. Like, oh, no. And they were lashing out, and it was all that Strongbones and GP could do to avoid being smacked the way that the two teen trolls have been smacked. They were. And then they had their claws. Well, their claws are sharp. They weren't happy. They wanted to eat. Well, this was getting really bad. And because all the trolls were milling around, the soldiers up at the doors, the guys that were guarding everything, couldn't get through. They couldn't get their spears out. They couldn't get through. That left the two humans. Well, it also left Mudrub and Gladrab. We'll get to them. So it left the two humans. The two humans were pulling and pulling and pulling, and they were yanking and yanking and yanking. Come on, come back. And that's when Mudrub rushed up and said, "Hey, we gotta help." And you know what he did? Good old Mudrub. Mudrub, the guard of the doors. Mudrub, the commander of the Troll Mountain entrance. Mudrub jumped onto the back of Argarg and clambered around and hung onto him. Come on, you! And then Gladrab, nephew of the king, young troll teen who wasn't unruly, he jumped on the back of Snarlycrawl. Come on, you! Oh, and they started dancing around. Well, now you had two humans tugging on the leashes, and you had two trolls hanging on to the back of the werewolves, and the werewolves were like, they were running around. They weren't interested in eating anymore. They were interested in fighting. And that included biting. It was a disaster. Oh, and then they started knocking over the food trays. Oh, the chili went up all over the floor. Ooh, there went the mac and cheese. Went, ooh, and then a whole glob of gravy was spilled. The whole thing was a mess. They were running around on food. They were dancing in food. The two trolls were hanging on. The two humans were hanging on. It was a mess. It was a total mess. How is it going to end? We don't know. How? And then suddenly, into the whole mayhem, stepped good old Glabilda. Well, Glabilda's not a big old troll. She's just a little troll kid. And she is small, but she's the daughter of the king of the trolls. She's Glabilda. And when she says stop, she expects things to stop. And you know what Glabilda did? Glabilda waded through the food on the floor, got her feet all soaked with chili and macaroni and cheese, and she jumped up on the table, and she turned around and faced the two werewolves, and she put her hand up and said, "Stop!" Well, let me tell you, even werewolves know when to listen. Now, they may be dim bulbs, they may be kind of unruly themselves, they may be, you know, they like what they like and they don't like what they don't like, and it's all about that. But the word of command, stop, stopped them in their tracks. And they both looked up. Huh? And Gladrab and Mudrub, hanging on to these two trolls in their backs, looked over and looked at Glabilda and said, huh? And the two humans, Strongbones and GP, hanging on to the leashes, all of a sudden found the leashes go slack. And they said, what's going on? And Glabilda looked at the two werewolves. They said, you are werewolves in Troll Mountain. You are not allowed to eat the king's food. And you are very bad. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. You would think that the two werewolves among them would just eat Glabilda up in no time. But instead, they turned their heads and went, and Glabilda said, and you have made a mess of the king's dining room, the king's palace hall, the king's great meeting room. You have made a mess. Well, you are back to your werewolf caves right now and into your cages, and you are in trouble. Wow. Who would ever think Glabilda? Whoa, she was like tough. Whoa. Granny Glub was listening to her favorite great-granddaughter, and she said, yay! She started clapping. Whoa! Mr. Glub looked at his grandmother, and Mrs. Glub said, go get him, Glabilda! And Mr. Glub went, that's my daughter. And then all the trolls started saying, ha 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 ha, laughing, and ha 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 ha. And at that point, things had cleared out enough so that a whole bunch of troll soldiers were able to come down. And they grabbed the leashes away from GP and Strongbones, and they helped Gladrab and Mudrub off their backs. And then two or three troll soldiers grabbed each of the leashes and said, "You're going back to the cages." Arkarg was and Snarlygrow was and they got dragged away, year away. And Babilda looked up. She said, "So, everybody, back to our pig out." Well, that wasn't really the end of it, because first of all, so many tables had been turned over that there was food all over the floor. Everything was like a mess. Oh, and then of course, they'd done a job on the kitchen tables, all the tables with the food that were lined up for them to eat, and a lot of the bottle, the big pans were turned over, and it was all this chili and cheese, mac and cheese. There were potato flakes everywhere, beef jerky, ramen noodles. It was a mess. Oh, it was like a mess. Mr. Glub looked up and spotted the three trolls, Grassy, Rocky, and Bernie, who were trying to make like, "Don't see me." And he looked at them and said, "You three, you again, come here." And they came up to him. Mr. Glub said, "I'm not done with you yet. You can't even take care of werewolves. We got to do something about you. But first of all, you're going to clean this place up." So all the trolls and Mr. Glub's family decided that they'd take a rest. And they'd already eaten a bunch. So they'd go out and take a nap. And they'd come back after more food was cooked and the place was clean. So they all disappeared. And a couple of big old grizzly troll guards stood there and watched while the three teens got buckets of water and got on their hands and knees and started scrubbing, 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 oh, scrubbing. They spent a good long time until everything was perfectly clean. And then GP said, "Well, back to the kitchens." And they opened up some more chili and mac and cheese. They made another big feast, and they had another feast following that. Only this one was a lot more peaceful, a lot happier. Everybody had a good time. There were no werewolves, thank you. The three teen trolls, once they had cleaned up the whole mess, everything was spick and span. All the tables were turned back up. All the food was clean. All the dishes were clean. Then Mr. Glub said, "I have to think about what to do with you. But until then, you are banished to the dungeons." Oh, and he sent them to the dungeons. Oh dear, where they're going to await their fate. But meanwhile, they had their second pig out of the night. Oh, everybody was happy. Another pig out with human food. Oh, we're starting to like this human food. And they ate all the chili. They ate all the mac and cheese. They ate all the ramen noodles. This was the second pig out of the day. They ate all the beef. Oh, they loved it. They had a great time. Mr. Glub stood up and made a wonderful speech about how his two humans had done such wonderful things for Troll Mountain. And they rewarded them with great gifts and they were going to enjoy them. And then Glubilda stood up and she looked at the two humans. And she said, and you, I order you. Well, she's into this ordering mode now, isn't she, Little Miss Princess? I order you to return next spring with cute bones. And Strong Bones looked up and he almost started laughing. And GP said, "Oh, okay. But if I come back," he looked at Mr. Glub, "can I interview the Glub family?" Well, Mr. Glub was really happy because here he had his camera. He had his camera going. He was able to take pictures of his family. He knew how to use it. He said, this human I like. And so he looked at GP and he said, "Good human, you can come and talk and bring more of your stuff." And GP said, "I will not only bring more of my stuff, I'll show you how to use the stuff you have." Oh, Mr. Glub liked this one. "Oh, thank you." And then Strongbones said, "All right, next time the trolls come out, in the May, the Troll Fest, and they come out in the spring, I will bring cute bones, and she can join you in the Troll Fest. How's that?" Oh, Mr. Glub was really happy, and Glubilda went, "Yay! Yippee, yippee, yippee! Whoa, da-da-da-da! Whoa, da-da!" Because she wanted to get her pet back. Well, that's another story. But she wanted to see Glubilda and have some more fun and do things that troll girls never did, except Glubilda. And that was that. And they had their pig up. Oh, it was delicious. And then Strong Bones and GP had a wonderful sleep way up on the top of Troll Mountain, overlooking all the hills and mountains. And the next morning, with no fanfare, Mr. Glub showed up with a couple of troll soldiers. And he said, "Let's go. That's it." Glubilda came tagging along. She said, "Oh, I'm going to miss you too." And went way, way back down to the treasure caverns. And they came to the treasure caverns, and there was GP's Jeep full of stuff. Oh my goodness, full of stuff. And it included was the whole robot from Mr. Nigiyoshi-san's rival. I gotta find that name, because that's gonna bug me now, because I don't have that. But anyway, that was it. And then they loaded up, and guess who showed up? Yeah, oh, here it is. Yes, it's Kusumono-san, who's the chief executive of the Nippon Neuro Robotics Technologies. So he got an N2R2 and squared RT robot. Well, that's interesting. I wonder what Squeaky Toy's going to make of that. But they stood up. There were their trucks, his car, his Jeep. And then who showed up to say goodbye? But Gladramp. And Gladramp came up, and he took up the Strong Bones, and he took Strong Bones by the arm, and he took him by the hand. And he said, I like you, human. Oh, that, well, that's a compliment, you know, from a human. And so he basically, the Strong Bones said, well, I like you too, Gladrab. We should get together. And Gladrab said, yes, let's do that. We'll do that in the spring when we come out of the mountains. And Strong Bones said, okay, it's a deal. And then Strong Bones showed him how to shake hands. And then who showed up but the old grizzled guy from the door, Mudrub, who'd let him in originally. And Mudrub said, I'm the guardian of the doors. And here's a secret that we're going to show only you. It's the back door. The back door? Back door to Troll Mountain? And old Mudrub walked up to a little control. And he started cranking. 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 Well, what would appear but a whole side of the mountain seemed to open, and it opened up and slid up, and it looked like it was just the wall of the mountain sliding up. And when it had gotten up about 10 feet, Mudrub stopped and he said, there you go, humans, have a good time. And Mr. Glub then, and he saw how Gladrab had shaken hands, so he said, oh, I shake hands with you. And he shook hands with both GP and Strong Bones, first time Mr. Glub had ever shook hands with a human. And then the builder ran up to Strong Bones and said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, and gave him a hug. Oh, and then she went over and gave GP a hug. Oh, come back, come back, come back. I want to see you, Bones. And the two humans both looked at the trolls, and then they bowed, because they were both very polite humans. And they said, troll people, we are so happy we were here. Thank you for bringing us in as your guests, and we will come back to see you in the spring. And they both got in their truck, Strong Bones in his truck, and GP in his Jeep. They were both full of gas because they'd filled them up from all the other trucks there. And they drove off. And you know what? You know what? That door opened up and came to a little path. You didn't really see. It wasn't noticeable because it was never used, so it wasn't noticeable. That little path led them right to the road where GP had originally met the teen trolls. And they had trashed his Jeep. And they drove around. And they stopped and looked back, and there, the side of the mountain was coming down, like the rock cliff coming down, and then it stopped, and you couldn't see where there was a wall. It was a secret door. Oh, GP looked at Strong Bones, Strong Bones looked at GP, they both waved, and there they were, down the road. And then, of course, they got to Apple Knoll, they saw Uncle Key, they had dinner, and then GP made his way to Skedaddle. Strong Bones gave a brand new bike to Tuggy Tuddy, who thought this was great, the greatest thing he had ever. He even filled it with gas. And then that was the end of the story. And everything worked out well, and GP got his Jeep. So that, dear William, is the end of today's story. Farewell, Pickout Disaster. And I'm going to have you have a good night's sleep. I'm going to have to think up a new story. I think the new story is going to be the solar hat. And that story is very interesting, because that's when Mr. Ningiyoshi comes to visit 3T and Squeaky Toy and Dr. Talltale. And he comes to visit because he wants to bring his solar hat. Yes, because Squeaky Toy has to get better energy, and he needs a solar hat. But, without anybody knowing, Mr. Ningiyoshi-san is going to be coming. But Mr. Kusumono-san, Mr. Futeki Kusumono, who is the chief executive of the Nippon Neuro Robotics Technologies, is going to kidnap Squeaky Toy. Oh, dear. Squeaky Toy is going to go disappear. And what's going to happen? You know what Mr. Kusumono-san wants to do. He wants to take Squeaky Toy apart to see how he works. This is very interesting. But it'll be the next story. The Solar Hat. So that's it, sweet William. I love you, dearest. You give your beautiful Lauren sister a big hug because she is such a good sister to you. And you give your mama and your dad a big, big, big hugs because they're the best, best people in the whole world for you. And then you say your prayers for your grandmom, your granddad, because they're beautiful, beautiful, and they love you too. And you have a wonderful sleep. And next thing you know, we'll be starting a new story. Love you, William.